Will your marriage survive COVID? We're talking about how couples are weathering the pandemic. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. More stress means more conflict, but some couples will emerge stronger out of this. The U.S. marriage and divorce rates have decreased in the past decade, ending in 2018. That's according to census data. But what will 2020 hold? Has your relationship gotten stronger, or has your commitment waned with your partner? What is causing the most stress? How are you working through it? We're at 800-642-1234. Teresa DiDonato is an associate professor of psychology at Loyola University, Maryland, where she studies romantic relationships. Teresa, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Oh, Kate, it is such a pleasure to be here with you this morning.
Oh, but it is so rough out there, you know, with the loss of jobs, with sickness, with the kids at home, with virtual learning. What does this stress and uncertainty do to our relationships?
Well, this is such an important question. We have to remember that relationships are really important to our psychological and our emotional well-being, our daily happiness, our physical health. So much is tied to our romantic relationships. So as we walk through this unprecedented time, it's we have to try to understand, what is the pandemic doing to our relationships? And you said stress. I mean, that's the perfect word for it, right? We already know that couples are experiencing incredible stress. And when we think about how stress impacts a relationship, we have to remember, you know, relationships don't operate in a bubble. They are very much impacted by what's happening around them. So when external stressors, which are threats imposed by events outside of a relationship, when they're experienced by one member of the couple, that stress is going to come into the relationship. Mm. And we saw this in normal times too, right? Someone has a very bad day at work. They come home. There's this spillover effect.
Yeah, they bring that baggage right with them.
Right. And so now with this new kind of stress that we're experiencing, that stress is coming into relationships as well.
And I know, you know, even the physical stresses of everyone being in this under the same roof, right? And getting into each other's spaces, and there's kind of no way out of that. And even trying to put up some of those boundaries when no boundaries had to exist before, because people left the home and were on their way for the day. This being in each other's physical space, what does that do?
Right. So this is very new for many couples. If you think about the fact that couples entered this pandemic in different places. So some couples had very strong relationship skills, very substantive individual strengths, a lot of resources, and they entered the pandemic with that set of benefits to draw from, where other couples entered more vulnerably into this pandemic. And so for some couples who maybe were able to ignore some of the underlying problems in their relationships because they're so busy, they're commuting, they're driving kids everywhere. And now, as you said, they're suddenly in the same space, in the same rooms, working and managing their stress as well. For some couples, this is a bit of a, you know, a last straw thing. They can't ignore the underlying issues any longer. And this has led some theorists to project an uptick in relationship divorces because of these couples that were able to kind of go along, you know, but then the pandemic sort of refused them that privilege any longer. But, you know, at the other end, you have some couples who maybe entered it a little bit more strongly, and the idea of spending more time together has actually strengthened their relationships.
Yeah. Talking with Teresa DiDonato, who's a social psychologist and associate professor of psychology at Loyola University, Maryland, we're looking at what couples are doing here amid the pandemic and what it looks like to maintain relationships in very stressful times. Has the stress of the pandemic caused you to rethink any of your relationship? Have you, your friends told you about new stresses that have caused caused by the pandemic, causing problems in their own? Join in at 800-642-1234. Teresa, you know, naturally with this stress, we're wondering, well, will there be more separations, more divorces? And as it's hard to know about those statistics now, but what do you make of that? Is there any connection there?
Sure. So it's a really important question. And there was some buzz this summer that maybe we're going to see an uptick in divorces. If you think about it, the pandemic is not hitting everybody equally. So we have some people who are experiencing particular crisis because of social economic concerns, they have job loss, or they have new stresses tied to their work. You know, they may have felt very comfortable being a teacher or being a nurse before, but now there might be a higher level of stress tied to their job, and they're bringing that home. We also have parents. Being a parent introduces a particular vulnerability right now. And there's some good ideas to support that being a parent introduces stress, not only because you're juggling more childcare responsibilities while also trying to work for many families, but you're also worried in new ways about your children's psychological health and well-being. So that's another kind of stressor that we're concerned about right now as relationship scientists. And of course, the confinement and isolation that comes along with COVID differentially impacts people. For example, older adults might be, you know, in their relationships might be isolated more than younger families.
Yeah. And there's also this notion that there's just not enough time to go around, that you can't give to each person as you could before in, you know, keep all the balls in the air, if you will. How does that impact relationships when there isn't that time, it seems?
Oh my gosh. So, you know, if you think about what the what makes a healthy relationship, we're talking about these adaptive relationship processes that are easier to do when you're well rested, when you feel like you have the time to do them. So responsive support, affection, warmth, sharing positive activities, all of these things are really healthy in relationships. But if you've been monitoring virtual school all day while juggling a job and, you know, there's 15 chores to do, and you're also stressed about the family and relatives, how much do you have left to give to your partner at the end of the day, right? So beyond just time, it's also energy, right?
Yeah, and it can only go so far. You know, as I was preparing, I was looking at some statistics, and after the Great Depression, divorces declined. And I'm wondering, you know, in the pandemic, might there be an opportunity for couples to grow closer?
Yes. I think that there's definitely an opportunity. Now, remember, we're thinking about how the pandemic differentially impacts different people. So, you know, if you have a job loss, if you're struggling in ways that effective communication are not going to fix, then you're in a different position than couples who maybe have the opportunity to leverage what the pandemic does offer couples, which is more time together. And we know also that when there are these tumultuous times, people often orient towards their families. They become less self-centered and they orient towards their families. They appreciate their families more. They feel more committed. And you can feel almost like a team surviving and being resilient in a really difficult time.
We're talking about couples in the pandemic and how your relationship is doing in these times. Teresa DiDonato is a social psychologist at Loyola University, Maryland. What have you discovered about your partner as you spend 24/7 at home? Have you helped your spouse through COVID or a layoff? Are you getting through to them, or are they pushing away and wanting more distance? Join in. Let's talk it through. 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Teresa DiDonato here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're checking in on how couples are doing. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Married couples have been hit hard by the pandemic. According to a new American Family survey, about a quarter of people reported that the pandemic has increased stress in their relationship. How much of the fear and uncertainty of the pandemic is changing the dynamics of your marriage, your relationship? Is there the chance the pandemic is improving your life? Are you getting more time with your partner now more than ever? Join in Your Situation, 800-642-1234. Teresa DiDonato is a social psychologist at Loyola University, Maryland, and she's our guide. Teresa, if you have lost your job, but your partner has not, they're doing fine in their position, how do you be supportive of them and how do you reach them?
Sure. So we know that responsive support is so important for a healthy relationship functioning. It's going to predict your relationship quality and ultimately your relationship stability. So it's really important to show your partner that you understand as best you can that you're validating their emotional responses and their experiences. And you want to show that you care. Not one recipe for responsive care is going to work for every couple. It really needs to be tailored to the partner and the partner's experience. But we do know that responsive support, even when it's hard, you know, you're tired too, you know, it's a pandemic, there's a lot of stress. But if you can show this responsive support, it can reduce de-stress and increase well-being for couples.
And what would responsive care look like? What are some examples?
Sure. So sometimes it's making sure that you're talking to your partner about difficult conversations when you know that they're not depleted. So you try to find them when they're, you know, in the morning, not when they're exhausted at the end of the day. So you're respecting the challenges that they're dealing with. Showing affectionate touch. We know that affectionate touch goes a long way in supporting that feeling of being supported. But necessarily you need to think about, well, what does your partner need? Because if your partner is looking for a job and needs a job, you know, what they might benefit from are more tangible supports if they're open to it, help finding a job that would work for them.
Yeah. Steve called from Montello, couldn't stay with us. And Steve says that they went through a divorce about a year ago and would appreciate discussing how COVID is affecting single people. Steve's currently single. His kids are outside the state and he doesn't have many people to communicate with at this time. What would you tell Steve?
I'm so glad Steve asked that question because all of us as individuals have different levels of affiliative needs. So we sort of strive for this homeostasis where we have a balance. If we're feeling lonely, we're going to want more connection. But during a pandemic, that connection might be hard to find. So when we have technology that can help facilitate this, certainly people are making good use of that. The phone, you know, but trying to recognize that this pandemic is not going to last forever, even though it can feel that way. So having the long-term perspective can help sustain people through the difficult moments where they want to connect with other people, but know that they shouldn't be in the same physical space as them.
Yeah. And I wonder, too, if you mentioned those Zoom calls and things like that, but are there certain kind of rhythms to the day when you are about to feel quite lonely? Anything you can do to head that off?
Sure. So there are behavioral things that we can do to help boost our own mental health and feelings of wellness. Certainly, we know that exercise can help reduce feelings of loneliness. We know that immersing yourself in some sort of social world can actually reduce feelings of loneliness, like a really good TV show. There's a reason why people are indulging in TV right now, but a great book can also do this too. So we have these other ways to sort of feel a little bit more connected. And that's really important right now.
I was listening to another psychologist who said, be kind to yourself. If you want that extra cookie right now, maybe it's okay now to have that extra cookie.
Yeah, you know, I do think it's important to think, you know, well, what works for me? You know, what works for me? And then in moderation, because we also know trying to get a good night's sleep is helpful for most people. And we know that exercise is helpful for most people. So doing those good, healthy behaviors can help sustain your mental health during this difficult time as well.
Talking with Teresa DiDonato, social psychologist at Loyola University, Maryland, we're talking about how couples can help one another in these difficult difficult times and how to make sure relationships stay strong. How are things like the isolation from friends and family making things, you know, more difficult for you? Are you finding yourself short on patience when dealing with your partner or other stresses in your life? Join in at 800-642-1234. Teresa, you mentioned sleep as being something that can help with all this stress. What should we factor in when, you know, we're in a relationship with our couple? Maybe you're sleeping in the same bed. What would you say to sleep?
Well, I do know that some interesting research has come out on sleep that because people are no longer commuting the way they used to, that in a way, there's some evidence to suggest people have more time to sleep right now, and that the night owls among us are in a way having their revenge because they can, for the first time, go to bed a little bit later like their biological clock wants them to and sleep in a little bit. The issue is, however, the quality of sleep, because it's a very stressful time. So, you know, we can do what we can to at least give us, you know, go into bed away from your computers, you know, do those nice sleep hygiene habits to try to facilitate a good night's sleep. And that would be one step to help us also reorient with the people around us who we can connect to and give us energy to have good conversations, good self-disclosing conversations that facilitate feelings of intimacy.
What if you're staring at the ceiling or tossing and turning and so worried right now amid the pandemic? Maybe a family member has COVID. Maybe you have lost your job and don't know how to make rent or the mortgage. What do you do when you're up all night?
Sure. So there is some suggestion. You know, I'm not a sleep scientist myself, but I do have a personal interest in this. So I do know that some of the research suggests that when you are lying there and you're awake and it's been 25, 30 minutes, that the best idea is to get up, get out of bed, because what you don't want to do is condition the experience of going to bed to be the time when you think and worry. So you get up, you have a change of scene, and then you try again. And that can help break the pattern of having running thoughts when you're trying to go to sleep at night.
Even before the pandemic, couples had disagreements, sometimes really bitter disagreements over money and how their spouse spends or who is in charge of the money. And certainly the pandemic hasn't helped that situation. How should we approach money disagreements with a spouse?
Oh, Kate, that's such a great question, because we know that arguments regarding finances are also a factor that people cite when they're talking about why they divorce. It's important to consider what effective communication is. When we're talking with a high level of hostility and criticism, that tends not to help. So it's not just what you're saying, it's also the style that you're using to say your ideas. When you're having a difficult conversation about money or about the children's schooling, because there are a lot of issues right now that are new to people, as well as older ones that are still there and maybe even bigger, like financial conversations, you want to show investment in the relationship, investment in the partner. You want to respond sensitively to the partner as best you can to really listen. Listen not when you're listening is not when you're planning your response, right? Really listening. And try to recognize your partner's efforts, right? Because this is, you're a team. And to try to remember that you're a team is going to help facilitate difficult conversations.
But it's really, you know, certainly really hard when you want to just fast forward and have your response ready to go. You think you know what they're going to say, but you're really trying to tell us to stay in the moment and really listen.
Yes. Yes, yes, which comes with practice too. You know, you can say, I'm trying to do this and I'm going to try again because I want to. I care about you. I care about this relationship.
Yeah, and maybe even saying back to them, this is what I heard, and then kind of restating what they said. Does that help?
Sure. The goal here is to make sure that it's you're caring about your partner's experience of the conversation. The partner needs to feel like they were listened to, that they were validated, that they, you know, that you are caring for what they're saying, because that alone, that type of conversation, it might have a productive goal of helping you make some decisions about money. But more importantly, from a relationship's perspective, it can increase feelings of intimacy and closeness, which are going to help foster the stability of your relationship.
We're looking at stress in our relationships amid COVID with Loyola University Maryland Associate Professor of Psychology Teresa DiDonato. Is the isolation from friends and family affecting your well-being? Do you feel more lonely? Where is that loneliness coming from? Are you short on patience when working through disagreements with your partner? Is the pandemic to blame? And by the way, how have you reimagined date night without going out? Let's talk about it. 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up with Teresa DiDonato after a news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the morning show as we talk about the tensions arising from being with your partner all day, every day. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. How is your relationship holding together? Do you feel like a more united front? According to the new American Family Survey, nearly 3 in 5 married men and women said the pandemic has made them appreciate their spouse more. About half said their commitment to marriage had deepened. How are you feeling about your partner? What adjustments have you made? Is there new friction from handling kids' virtual schooling and chores around the house? Who is doing what now? It's 800-642-1234. Teresa DiDonato is a social psychologist at Loyola University Maryland, and she's our guide. Teresa, I want to walk through a particular tricky situation, sensitive situation, with divorced couples who are taking their kids back and forth in the pandemic. You know, certainly there's the mental and emotional toll, but there's also the public health situation there. Can you break down the circumstances?
Sure. So I know this is affecting many families across our country. And part of the challenge between ex-partners is to be openly communicating what their expectations are for each other, what they're prepared to offer, and to make sure that there's a plan in place so that children know what the expectations are too in terms of safety behavior, like mask wearing and going into public places. I think a shared sense of what the expectation is can make a big difference in that difficult arrangement.
Yeah, so really understanding, having a common understanding of what the partner's expectations are for when the kids are there and what your expectations are when the kids are with you, and making sure that you're approaching the pandemic through kind of the same lens, if you will.
Yeah, I think that's really important. And just like couples who are living in the same house, you know, this is an opportunity for new forms of interdependence. There are going to be challenges that are presented now that these couples didn't have to deal with before, so they have to be negotiated.
How do you negotiate when you're not seeing eye to eye, when, you know, you really disagree with that ex-partner's approach to either the pandemic or something else in the relationship?
Right. And that's a really important question. And, you know, there's no one recipe for every couple. What we can do is try not just to talk about information, but also to try to dig into the reasons for that feeling about that decision regarding safety behavior in the pandemic. What are the emotions underlying it? Because sometimes if we can get at, okay, it's not just what I think, but here's why, and here's what I'm feeling about it. And that can be a different way to approach the conversation so that there's some understanding about the emotions tied to these decisions.
What are some of those emotions that might be bubbling up right now and that the other partner really needs to confront and understand?
Sure. Well, I mean, people are afraid right now. There's fear. There's worry about children. There's also grief for people who have lost loved ones, and that can introduce additional fears and concerns. So the challenge when you're coming from two different perspectives is to try to really understand, and hopefully there's some investment at least for finding a common ground. Otherwise, it can be more challenging. And here's where sometimes couples will turn to a couples therapist, even ex-partners, to help negotiate these challenges.
How should we be talking about the kids when they have fear in the pandemic as well? And how do we talk with them about these fears?
Right. So this needs to be tailored to the children's age, right? So if you have young kids, they're not going to have the same concerns as older children and teenagers. And then college students have different concerns because this is a period of emerging adulthood for them. They want to be out there in the world. And instead, maybe they're virtually learning from home, or maybe they are at school, but their social activities have been wildly constrained. So thinking about where is my child now? What are their needs? What are their specific concerns? And then how much information do they need about what's happening in the world? But presenting information in a context of here are the facts, and then let's talk about them, and let's also talk about how you feel about them can be one way to show support for children at this time.
Yeah, because they have so many fears, and if they see a parent who also has fears or is suddenly in a really difficult situation with losing a job or finances, that insecurity for the child certainly would mount.
Yes, and we know that insecurity and uncertainty is a very challenging stress to manage. Even as if we think about relationships and what the feeling of uncertainty does in that context, we know people respond to it, and they may, for example, lean in closer to their partner, or they might want space to process what's happening. And children have the same the developing psychological story. So they're trying to figure out the world too, and they have fears, and it's important that they know they have someone to turn to talk about them.
We're talking with Teresa DiDonato, a social psychologist and associate professor of psychology at Loyola University, Maryland. We're talking about how to be stronger as a couple in this pandemic and what relationships are going through right now. Can you share a situation about what your relationship is going through? Are you spending more time with each other? What have you learned in these days? 800-642-1234. Teresa, how do we handle Thanksgiving when no one can be together?
Right. This is, I think, on everyone's mind. And I think it's okay to grieve the loss of a Thanksgiving like you're used to. But what we can do is try to make the best of it. So, if you're with a partner, or you're with someone in your bubble where you can see them safely, try to make the most of it. And certainly we have technology to be able to talk to grandparents and grandchildren and other important people in our lives, and to make use of that technology this year, knowing that next year will be different. That could be one way to help sustain us through the holidays.
Yeah, so certainly using that technology to bring us together, for older people as well, this can also be a very isolating time. If you're elderly, what advice can you give there?
Sure. So we know that age is a risk factor for psychological health and well-being right now. The experience of and older and alone, or older and in a relationship, because the stress of the pandemic is hitting older adults more vigorously. It's we see this also for people who are members of historically marginalized groups, where the risks are higher. So what we can say is, trying to take a long-term perspective as best as we can, and to make use of the resources that we do have, like technology, when it's possible, that can at least help provide a band-aid to a very difficult time.
How are you communicating with college students on your campus in these times when you're saying, hey, you can't get together for study groups, you can't get together for lab groups or to have a party? What does that, how do you send that message, and how is it received?
Sure. So I know that colleges and universities are taking different approaches to the fall and spring semester, whether they're virtual or on campus. My university is virtual this fall, but we're getting ready to reopen in the spring. And I think it's important for students also to appreciate it. There's nothing like a lesson in long-term perspective taking than a pandemic. There's been some really creative ways that students have been able to get together and get to know each other. Especially our first year students through the virtual medium, which is pretty exciting. There's quite a bit that can be done, trivia games, you know, all that sort of thing. It is a difficult time. It is a time when we have to think not only about ourselves, but how our behaviors affect other people, and to remind individuals who are young and might want to go out and feel safe that, you know, this is a very contagious disease and can be easily communicated to other people. And we want to protect not just ourselves, but the people we love.
So if you're in a new relationship, how do you date now?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked that question. I'm really interested in what's going to happen over the next few years, not just in terms of dating, which I want to talk about, but also potentially in terms of our marriage rate. So some of your listeners might have also been in this position where they had planned to attend a wedding this year that was postponed or canceled. But then we also have all these people who aren't dating the way they would be in normal times. So while we might see an uptick in marriages in 2021 because of a sort of backlog from 2020, I expect that we'll see a decline in the marriage rate because people are not meeting new people the way they usually would during the last 8 months.
Yeah, that's really interesting, too, because there was certainly some pent up demand if marriages were put off because you couldn't have the ceremony you wanted. But you're saying that because people literally cannot be in the same space, that it is really holding back dating and relationships.
Well, we think about where people would meet other people. And, yeah. You know, it's often out in, you know, at restaurants, at bars, at parties, at settings where you don't necessarily go in thinking you're going to meet a potential romantic partner, but you do. So we have that subset of people who simply are not meeting potential partners. And even online dating is a little bit different now. We know a lot of online dating sites use that geolocation technology where you're in a space and you can see who might be single around you. But if no one's there or a very limited number of people are there, then you're not going to be meeting people. So there's a change in what's happening in terms of how new relationships are being formed. My suspicion is that there's a bit of fewer relationships being formed, and we're going to see it soon in a marriage decline.
Social psychologist Teresa DiDonato is at Loyola University, Maryland, where she studies romantic relationships. Has the stress of the pandemic caused you to re-examine your marriage? Have your friends confided in you about new challenges in their relationships? Have you reached out to someone for help, or did you start going to couples therapy? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Teresa DiDonato here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Let's get back to our conversation with social psychologist Teresa DiDonato of Loyola University, Maryland. We're discussing how COVID has increased the stress in marriages and how couples are responding. Let's bring in Shane, who is joining us from Appleton. Hi, Shane. What would you like to add?
Hello. Good morning. I go through this in my relationship. I've been with my wife for a long time. We've been together for 30 years. And really, we both have our careers. We're doing well in a time like this. And, you know, sometimes you get wrapped up into, you know, poor me, you know, and not being able to be as social as we would normally be or whatever it is. And we have these conversations, and it's just really focusing on how fortunate we are And, you know, during this time, and we haven't lost our jobs, and sort of shifting that focus and really appreciating what you have instead of, you know, of course, this is always very stressful on everybody, right? But we just really have to look at how fortunate we are and sort of shift that focus off of us and take the time to think about other people and what they may not have.
Shane, thank you for that perspective and being grateful for what you have and really, you know, finding what is the positive around you, Teresa.
Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting. I think Shane's focus on gratitude about, you know, what your relationship has is so important. And so too is gratitude towards your partner. So showing that you're grateful for what your partner is doing right now in this difficult time to maybe make your day a little bit easier. Maybe they're stepping in new ways to help. Maybe they're supporting you in new ways because maybe they weren't in your office before, but now they are because you're working next to each other and they're getting you that cup of coffee and they're helping you. And we know in relationship science that gratitude is one way to help boost relationship quality. So showing gratitude for what you have as a couple, and you know, if you're lucky enough to have your jobs, appreciating it because it's not the universal experience, but also to show gratitude for what your partner is doing for you and for your relationship. And any couple who's going through, whether they're, you know, in a difficult time, a really difficult time, if they can find the energy to say, well, you know, I'm grateful that you're here too. I really appreciate you listening to me. And, you know, we're in this together. That can help support the stability of relationships.
And along the same thread that Shane was referencing is, you know, celebrating the little things, just little things like you mentioned, going, you know, to get that cup of coffee for your partner. Those little things can matter.
Absolutely. It's the little things that make up our days, right? So if we can show support in these little gestures, that is going to boost mood and well-being over the course of the day and ease a little of that stress because you're adding a little bit of that happiness. So that warmth and affection that really drives relationship quality, if we can find ways to show that over the course of the day, that benefits the relationship.
Dealing with death in the pandemic has been so difficult. Even the rites of passage like funerals are completely upended. What would your suggestion be for, you know, relationships that are going through a loss of a loved one?
Oh, this is such a difficult time, and so many families are going through this. And part of the challenge is making sure that you're letting yourself grieve as in as natural a way as possible, which is challenging in a time where we have these rituals that are designed to guide us through that. But to have a lot of self-compassion, to realize that this is an exceptionally difficult time to lose someone that you love, especially going into a holiday season where you might not be able to be with the family members that you want to be with. And that makes it even harder to do the standard form of reconnecting to and healing and just reflecting on the life of someone you've lost. So this is an incredibly difficult time, and having some self-compassion can help support, you know, at least awareness that, yes, this is extremely difficult and you're walking through it as best you can.
Also, it seems to me that just taking time and knowing that it's going to take time, like don't try to rush things. Let those emotions just be.
I think that's really important. Grief is a long process in any situation, but to have to grieve while also managing all these other stressors makes it even more difficult.
We're with Teresa DiDonato, who's a social psychologist at Loyola University, Maryland, as we look at how the pandemic is affecting intimate relationships. Teresa, I want to circle back to online dating for a moment. What suggestions would you have to handle those online dating apps and navigating this space when you are seeking a relationship right now in the pandemic?
Sure. So we do know that online forums, online dating websites can be a great way to connect to people. And maybe now's the time to connect virtually, to begin getting to know somebody online, to do that piece before initiating a meetup like you might have earlier in the non-pandemic world. So there's still a place for it, but it's just under different circumstances.
So a pretty long on-ramp before you actually come together in the same space, which just seems so absurd. I mean, this could totally change how we think about dating going forward.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. You know, I think relationship scientists are really focusing on, you know, what is the fallout of this going to be? And, you know, we have a lot of questions about what the marriage rate's gonna look like. Also, you know, when you think about long-term changes, people seem to really like working at home, those who have the advantage to do so. And so some questions that we might be thinking about down the road are, what are the long-term effects of working from home on relationship dynamics? You know, this could be a more stable pattern of how people do their jobs in the future. So I'm really excited to see what we learn about that down the road.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting because when you're trying to work in the same space as your partner, you can hear them typing, and that, you know, just, it's like, no, you just quiet down your typing. I mean, just, you know? So it's really gonna, we're gonna have to really think about how we approach space if we're going to be living where more and more people are working from home.
Sure. And we also get insight into our partners in their different lives. So, you know, maybe you're used to your partner talking to you, and then suddenly you hear your partner use even a different tone of voice in presenting a project to their teammate. And so we're getting insight into our partner's professional lives in a way that we might normally not have, which is pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's certainly a different window to see them in their moment, in their work, and what that is like without, you know, lurking too much into whatever Zoom call they're on. Well, we only have about a minute left, but I'm wondering, is there any tip or any advice you could leave us with that would help us today with the relationship that we're in right now?
Sure. Well, I would say, you know, to the extent that you possibly can, to leverage this time. And that means finding ways to carve time for you and your relationship partner, to try to introduce some positivity, to de-stress as a couple in that way. We know there's a lot of opportunity for new forms of interdependence. So interdependence is when my outcomes depend on yours. And being in close proximity with our partners for this extended period of time, it does give us new ways to depend on each other. And that can really strengthen a relationship. So, you know, I wish everyone the best of luck during this difficult time, because we all know it's a struggle, but to try to keep perspective and to give to your partner that affection and that warmth and that responsiveness as best you can.
Oh, Teresa, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, Kate, it was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Teresa DiDonato is a social psychologist and associate professor of psychology at Loyola University, Maryland, where she studies romantic relationships. Just ahead, 1A's domestic news roundup. We cover the most important stories from around the country. That's next. Stay with us for 1A. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.